This is Hidden Brain. I'm Shankar Vedantam. It's almost that time for the Olympics. The pageantry, the dreams, breathtaking victories. For fans, it's an event of extraordinary drama. Athletes from across the globe competing at the very highest level, at the limits of human endurance. Social scientists find the games equally compelling for what they reveal about human behavior.
When a match ends, the winners and losers do something. That's immediate, automatic, it's unconscious, they have no control of it, it just happens. About a second later, then they come to their senses and they realize that they're on stage. And whatever rules they've learned to manage their expressions kick in then.
Coming up, what the Olympics can teach us about human behavior from a professor who's also an Olympic judo coach. Stay with us. My guest today is David Matsumoto. He's a professor of psychology at San Francisco State University. He's used the Olympics as a laboratory for psychological observations. But he's also been a part of the Olympics. David's coached the U.S. Olympic judo team, and his daughter has competed in the Games. I'm going to talk to him today first about his research and then about what a sharp-eyed psychologist might observe about human behavior at the Games. David, welcome to Hidden Brain.
Thank you so much for having me.
You photographed 84 athletes from 34 countries who were competing in the 2004 Athens Olympics judo competitions, and you photographed them at the moments when they won or lost their matches. What did you find?
Well, what you find is that people all around the world show exactly the same types of expressions depending upon whether they won or lost. So those who won a match or won a medal, for example, invariably showed some kind of enjoyment smile. And those who lost the last match showed nothing sometimes. Some of them showed sadness. Some of them showed some kind of distress. But the interesting thing about these findings is that those patterns vary depending upon whether they won or lost, but did not vary across any of the countries or cultures that the athletes came from.
Now, most lay people would not necessarily be surprised by this. They would sort of say, yeah, sure, people win. They sort of look the same. But why is this interesting from a scientific perspective?
Well, it's interesting because actually before our study, there were many, many studies that have shown that similar types of patterns of findings, cross-cultural similarities in these expressions. But there was never a study that was done in what we call an ecologically valid environment, out in the real world, to show that people actually do this stuff in the real world outside of a psychology laboratory. And I was just very, very fortunate to be able to do this study at the Olympics, which is a perfect social psychological laboratory.
In some ways, the study was basically making the argument, I suppose, that at least in the moment of triumph, people's reactions were shaped by what seemed like biologically innate imperatives.
Yeah, that's exactly right. However, that study by itself fell a little short. So in actuality, we had the second study, which studied the Paralympic athletes.
Huh.
And in every sport in the Paralympics has a different disability. For judo, it's blindness. And so we compared the expressions of the blind athletes to those of the sighted athletes, and we found exactly the same things.
So these are athletes who've been blind, some of them presumably blind from birth. They presumably
Let's make it even clearer than that. We had athletes who are congenitally blind, so blind from birth. There's no presumption about what they've seen. They've been impossible to see those expressions. And the fact that they produce the same things on their faces for certain emotions and then in their bodies for triumph absolutely suggests that these things are biologically innate.
What did the facial expression of triumph look like?
Well, triumph is actually a whole body response. And involves the expansion of the chest, raising the hands, oftentimes with a fist, a little bit of fierce or aggressive look in the face, and oftentimes a stern gaze at some kind of target.
Now, one of the things you found, which I found really fascinating, was, yes, you do find evidence that some of these expressions are biologically innate, but you also find that culture plays a huge role at the Olympics. Tell me about that part of the study.
What we did was study the expressions across time. So even though we were using a camera that was shooting 8 photographs a second. And so across a number of seconds, we can see how expressions transform across time. So immediately when a match ends, the winners and losers do something. That's immediate, automatic, it's unconscious, they have no control of it, it just happens. About a second later, then they come to their senses and they realize that they're on stage, and whatever rules they've learned to manage their expressions kick in then. And that's that second expression or third expression sometimes where you see these vast cultural differences. Some athletes are smiling, some athletes show nothing, some athletes start crying, some athletes do something else. But it's very interesting how you see the change at that point, but cultural invariance at the beginning.
You find that even though you have this range of emotions that kicks in after the first second or the first couple of seconds, these are not random. These actually are in some ways culturally determined, that you actually find athletes from certain countries behave predictably differently than athletes from other countries.
Yes, we were able to identify the various patterns of that cultural variation later on. So they're the neutralizers, those who kind of show nothing. As stereotypes, you can think of Eastern Soviet bloc or old Soviet bloc countries, Eastern Europe, those who have some communist history in them, Cuba, for example, are like that. You can think of the de-amplifiers, those who show something, but it's muted a little bit. There are a lot of North American, Western kind of cultures that do that. There's those that smile a lot after something, even those that have something negative. You can think of the East Asians as something like that. So yes, there are these very interesting cultural geographic variations on how the major patterns go in the cultural regulation.
So in other words, people express what really maybe is happening inside them, but then the culture kicks in and says, here's the way you ought to behave in
yes,
this situation.
That's exactly what it is. And the reason why most of us don't see that immediate reaction is because when something happens, we're often looking at the thing that happened. So by the time we look at the person who it happened to, they're already on the cultural regulation part. And it's people like us who have a camera on that person all the time who are watching the immediate reactions, who can get the immediate reaction.
One of the most celebrated studies looking at the Olympics, we featured it elsewhere on Hidden Brain. This is a study by Thomas Gilovich at Cornell, along with Victoria Medvec and Scott Mady. He analyzed the expressions on the faces of medal winners in the Barcelona Olympics, and he found that in general, bronze medal winners looked happier than silver medal winners. I'm going to let you tell me why that might be the case, but also how your own research both amplified and has a nuance to that finding.
Well, we found exactly the same things. Actually, one of the great things about our study is that not only were we able to study the expressions of the athletes right when they won a loss, right when they're on the mat, we could follow them 30 minutes later in the medal ceremony. So we saw what the same person did who had the same result, but it's now the social context is different. And you're exactly right. The silver medalists, everybody on the podium smiles. So there's no question about it because this is a very public televised thing. But if you measure the exact muscles that are moving in the smiles, you find that, let's call the silver medal smiles more of the miserable smile because they've got a lot of other things going on. You can see you won't see the crinkle in the eyes. Sometimes you'll see the downturning of the lips because they're really trying to control some negative feelings along with a smile. So some of them look miserable when they're smiling.
And Gilovich would argue this is because a silver medal winners are comparing themselves to the gold medal winners
exactly.
And saying, if I only had gone half a second faster, if I'd only jumped a little bit faster, I could be a gold medal winner.
That's exactly right. And so when you get to the bronze medalists, they have more reason to be happier because the alternative is nothing. Whereas the silver medalists, the alternative was the gold. And so in our study, we also found that the bronze medalists had more of the enjoyment smiles than the silver medalists did. The only exceptions that we found to this bronze medalist thing that I thought was really interesting when I look back at our data, there are some bronze medalists who did not look very happy. And these were generally the winners of the world championships of the previous year who came into the Olympics as the favorite. And they had to settle for a bronze. So because they had to settle for a bronze, they were not as happy as those who are getting a bronze. And they, you know, a lot of them didn't expect to get a medal, or they were just happy to